Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 645 Pod. This is a podcast to help you follow Jesus, especially if you're part of the 645 community, but it's for everyone as well. My name's Anton. I'm the minister for 645 at Christchurch St. Ives.
And I am Simon. I'm an MTS apprentice, and I work with Anton looking after 645.
And we'd love to welcome you back to Season 2. Season 2 is all about how we, as God's people, live for Him. Mm. And today we'll be looking at work and how we can work to please God.
Mm.
So, Simon, we're talking about work today. Mm. And you've had a number of jobs over the years.
I've had quite a few, yes.
Yeah. What was your first job?
I think I've got two in my head. One was I worked on a short film, and the other was I did music tutoring at my old school. I think music tutoring was my first one. Mm-hmm. And that was quite fun. I played trumpet all through school, so I tutored trumpet, but they also asked me to tutor trombone, to which I said, I don't play the trombone. I don't know how to play it. And they said, that's fine. We'll give you a trombone. You can learn. So I taught myself how to play trombone, to tutor trombone. I had a student in year five who was better than me at trombone. So I was just very careful to avoid playing the trombone around him in class and just kind of instructed him with things. So that was my first job. So I was qualified for the trumpet part, very underqualified for the trombone part, but it was fun.
Fun time.
To teach kids how to love music, and kids in year five enjoying classical music. It was a great time.
Do you still play trumpet at all?
Not heaps.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I still have one.
You can report, you know, we have new pod theme.
Yeah.
Song.
I could thing. If I, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
So
anyway.
What was your first job, Anton?
My first job had a really fancy title.
Oh.
It was not fancy at all. I was the research distribution clerk at HSBC.
That is a fancy sounding title.
I had to get into O'Connell Street in the city by 6 a.m. a couple of mornings a week, and it was first year out of school. And this was before email was as big as it is, and before it declined. So I had to, all the research, the economic research papers were put on a desk and in bundles. So I had to sort them all out, and all the different research analysts all got different research. So I had to know who got which, you know, who got the resources one, who got the fiscal policy one, you know.
Yeah.
And basically go around the big office and distribute the research and do odd jobs.
Yeah, wow.
But I liked it because it was so early in the morning, you get paid for 4 hours, but it never took 4 hours to do. So I'd finish my work, then go into uni and go to my first lecture. I was like, hey, I'm still getting paid.
Yeah. It's quite exciting when you kind of start early and like, oh, I've got so much of the day left.
That's right.
I've done like a whole lot of hours of work.
Yep. Yeah. And then HSBC cut its research department. And so we all lost our jobs at once. So fun times.
What a fun ending to that story. Yeah. Well, we're going to have a chat to someone else about their job.
Not the first. Oh, this is the first.
First full-time job, I think. Great. So like first out of uni studying job. We're going to have a friend and have a chat about what her experience of work is like.
Yeah, so it's nice to have a friend is our segment.
Yeah.
And let's hear from Claire Offord.
Hey. Hello, Claire. Welcome to the 645 Pod. It's really nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
For those who don't know, who are you and what do you do in 645? What's your involvement? How long have you been around?
So my name is still Claire. I am been part of 645 for past few years and part of Christchurch for a long time before that as well, through youth and stuff like that. And this year I've been serving as a community leader, which means I help care for some of the growth group leaders.
Yeah. And I hear you have a really great co-community leader.
Yes, Simon is excellent.
And so what was your first job? Anton and I just shared our first jobs. What was the first job you had?
I don't think it was very interesting. I think it was like babysitting or something like that.
Classic.
Nothing memorable.
That's a good first job. And what do you do at the moment? You finished studying and you're in full-time work. Tell us about that.
Yep, so I'm in my second year working full-time as a speech pathologist. I work in a private practice. I see kids, mostly kids, some adults, in schools and people with disabilities and all different people from all different parts of life. And it's really fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, awesome. How did you find the transition from being a full-time student to then going into full-time work? What was that like?
In some ways it was okay because of placement. I felt quite prepared for what that would look like. But there was definitely a long sense of everything feeling very new. And I found that quite disconcerting to feel like nothing was familiar. So I found sort of towards the end of last year, I started to really enjoy work. So I really settled into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so obviously you're a Christian and a worker, and that's what we're talking about today. How have you found the way being a Christian influences work for you and your attitudes towards work and how you act?
I think one of the things I think I'm really thankful for is the way that it is so freeing to know Jesus and to be a worker, because work isn't and shouldn't be my whole life. And I actually find that really freeing to know that, yeah, Jesus can be my priority and so work doesn't have to be my whole life. So for me, that's really freeing. And it also affects the way that I think about the relationships and friendships with people I have at work. I want to honor people and care for my colleagues and do well by the people that I see at work, my clients. And so there's some of the ways that I feel that it shapes. Yeah.
And on the flip side, what do you think are some of the challenges of being a Christian and a full-time worker?
This has been a challenge, but also a joy, but also a challenge has been just the way that God has revealed my sinfulness in the workplace. I think there were areas of sin I didn't even know were things that I idolized before I started working full time. So things like, you know, maybe wanting to please people or wanting to, kind of gossip, that kind of thing, those kind of areas of sinfulness that just really became quite stark when I started working. So that's been a challenge, but a joy. I think the other challenge is that I find it really hard to build those long-term friendships with people at work. So we only have sort of a few minutes every day to sort of catch up. And it's hard to build those into deeper friendships. It's just slower.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And maybe our last thing of what do you think something you wish you kind of knew or a little way of thinking that you have learned across doing some full-time work that you kind of would say to someone who's going into full-time work for the first time?
I think the thing that I found most helpful was actually at a God at Work night at 6:45 in February last year, so just before I started working, and it was all about thinking about how the workplace is your new gospel context. And so it was really helpful to think of work not just as the next step in my life or, you know, the kind of thing I should flow into, but actually, okay, this is the new place for me to love Jesus and love others. How do I do that? And that was a really helpful framework to view work in that way.
Yeah. All right, Claire, that was really helpful. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing some of your thoughts and experiences on work and what it looks like to work as a Christian. That was really helpful. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, that's really great to hear about some experiences of work, our first jobs, Claire's experience of her work. But now let's get stuck into a bit more of what the Bible says, how to think theologically, how can we think about work and a little bit, I guess, study by an extension of that in a godly way. What kind of attitude should we have? How should we think about work going through the Bible?
Yeah. And as we think about work in terms of being Christian, we can often think, okay, how do I please God in my work? Oh, okay, I need to be godly in the way that I work, and I need to tell people about Jesus at my work. That's kind of our two categories. Or maybe I need to earn money so I can give to gospel work.
Yeah.
But the Bible picture of what work is and how we should approach it to please God is much broader and richer than just those things. And so it's all the way back in how God made us in Genesis 1, which is, you know, all about how the purpose for which God made things and how he made them. God gives us humanity work to do. And so he says to the man and the woman in the garden, Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over basically every living creature.
Mm.
And so under the authority of God, God has given us authority to rule over the earth and to subdue it, to master it, to work it and care for our world. And so one aspect of our work is in pleasing God is rearranging all the raw materials and the fabric of how God has made the world to do things that are productive, do things that are helpful to help our communities flourish.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what God did, right? That's the whole start of the Bible. It talks about his work. You know, creation is the work that God did. The Bible starts with work.
Yeah.
So not only God gives us work, but that's how it describes creation as God's work.
And yeah.
So we kind of similarly then have that mandate to use that creation to create things for ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. And so one aspect you can go, okay, when I approach work or the work that you're doing or the study that you're, you know, your trajectory in terms of your working life, a question to ask is, okay, how am I caring for and using the creation in my work? Now, of course, for something like a farmer, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
but for a lot of our high-tech jobs, that's a bit different.
Yeah.
But even something like if you're an IT, if you do lots of coding, you may not be using kind of the raw materials of the world, but you're still using how God has set up the world. So the world is quite mathematical and logical things happen. And so we can use that in order to produce something, even if it's in a virtual computer-y, techie kind of sense.
Yeah. So the creation work is kind of an extension of maybe our imageness of God, like God works and creates. And so we, by nature, have, as God's creation, work and create.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And that's why it's so hard if you, like, are out of work or if someone's lazy and doesn't work much, then that's actually can be quite disruptive for us as humans, not just the pressure of having no money and things, but it's not what we're made to be.
Mm.
And so, you know, you get to everyone who's studying and you get to February when they're still on holidays, everyone's gone back. And it's just, it's lovely and fun, but there's a sense that it's not how it's.
Yeah. I need to be doing something. I can't have this long a break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's fine to enjoy that while you can, cause you know, you won't get it at any point in your life.
Maybe long service leave. You've got 10 years afterwards.
Yeah. So we're made to work and we're made to care for and rule over creation. So think about how you're doing that in. But that's, you know, that was how it was.
Be work, lovely, right?
Work would be fine.
So exciting.
Work would be fine, but work is not always fine.
Nope.
Simon, you've had some very below average work experiences.
I have.
What's one experience that, you know, hasn't been that blissful? Hey, look, I'm using creation. Everything's going really well.
most of my working experiences probably fall under that category, really. I think... There was, like, I worked in an architecture firm, so kind of work of creation, right? You're kind of thinking about buildings and building things and kind of making things. It has that really practical side of it, but it was a terrible job because my boss paid me below minimum wage. It started as an internship, so I wasn't paid, and then it was well below minimum wage for about a year and kind of, you know, it was 1 week that I worked 90 hours on a project in 1 week and just kind of was just a really insane job. So it kind of was... There was the creation aspect, but it was frustrated by it being kind of not a good working environment, really crazy hours, really absurd expectations, and just an illegal not paying me aspect to it.
Which doesn't help.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we should expect from, at least from time to time in our work, because when we turn the chapter in Genesis to chapter 3, all of a sudden work is cursed.
Yeah.
And so part of our rebellion against God, part of our ignoring God's good rule in our lives, the consequence of that is our work is cursed.
Mm.
So if you read through Genesis 3, Adam in particular, his curse, his punishment for disobeying God's word was that his toil will be, or his work will be toil. It will be hard and it'll be frustrating. There'll be thorns and thistles that disrupt his crops and things.
Mm.
And so that's going to be our experience this side of Jesus' return.
Yeah.
Work's going to be hard and frustrating.
Mm.
And often, you know, you'll do work in vain. Like, you know, I speak to people who've been working on this project. They go, look, I'm working on this. I've been told to work on it. But I know my boss is not, or the company's not going to run with this idea. So I'm just doing it for it to be put in the bin.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that 90-hour week that I spent at the architecture firm was for a competition that we did not win. So we did all that work for something that came to nothing.
And so that's going to happen in this side of the fall. It's, you know, the world is cursed and our work is cursed as well.
Yeah, got plenty more frustrating stories about work. So
Okay.
Well, it's a good. Well, I worked as a pastry chef briefly.
Again, we're using the raw materials.
Creating. Yeah. So creation work. It's also quite frustrating, even not just sitting at a computer. And I'd never worked in a professional kitchen before. There was one day I had this awful day where I think I had a migraine. But I still went in and they were showing me like the most complicated cake that there is on the recipe. And I I was really slow, obviously, because I had a migraine. And so they kept on being like, yeah, you're behind time. And then I like really badly cut my hand on a sieve. Randomly.
Wow. Like on MasterChef.
When you put the little blue thing over your hand to stop it from bleeding. And the chef there was very sweary and was just yelling at me the entire day. And I
just like MasterChef.
Yeah. It was awful. And that was probably one of my low points of a job because I just was so out of my depth. I failed so miserably. I felt so rubbish at the end of the day. I just had someone yelling at me the whole day. Eventually, I was like, I'm so sorry. I've just got a migraine. I'm really not well. And the chef was like, I honestly don't care. You need to do your job. And I was like, this is really fun.
Yeah. And you know, those experiences will happen.
Mm.
And so, you know, you hear people, particularly when people transition from uni to full-time work, people can go, I'm really not enjoying my job or it's just really hard. And they're saying it like that's a surprise.
Mm.
Like people are constantly surprised at how hard work can be or how just boring work can be.
Mm.
And if we read our Bibles carefully, we go, look, that's a lot of what work is.
Mm.
It's toilsome. It's not enjoyable. It's not this amazing experience that is so rich and fulfilling for us.
Yeah.
And so if we have that expectation going into work, we set ourselves up for a hard fall and we get restless and want to, hey, maybe I'll change jobs and then it'll be great.
Yeah.
And then we just get to the same point in our next job and go, oh, time to change jobs again and see if that's even any more worthwhile. And whereas actually no, it can be hard and it can be frustrating.
We really kind of look for personal fulfillment and joy in work and think it should always be that way, which I think is maybe a more modern expectation and idea of work, which we might chat a bit more about later.
Well, not necessarily. So it is how we think about work now, but all the way back in Genesis 11, so we're not very far through the Bible yet, but Genesis 11 is where humanity makes the Tower of Babel.
Mm.
And of course that's the first big engineering project in the Bible, making a tower. And they make it they say they work to make a name for themselves.
Mm.
That's their goal. It's kind of, we want us to be impressive and we'll reach the heavens.
Make our mark.
Yeah. And so our purpose and identity was all towards that tower. But in the end, because work is cursed and because that's not going to, you know, it will actually lead to disaster for humanity, the work fails and the people are dispersed. And so if we do try and find our identity in our work, it's going to, you know, it has its place, but if that's our core of why we're working, you know, this is, you know, I am a doctor or I am an engineer or I am a scientist, you know, if that's who you are, then you're losing sight of, no, you're actually a child of God and you are not your work.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the other frustration is kind of, you said about our work maybe not going anywhere and we kind of have the ultimate end of work in death, and we can't take our work and our achievements mm-hmm. with us. Yeah. They kind of end. So Ecclesiastes has a bunch to say about work and its frustrations. But 2:18 says, I hated all the things that I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish, yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and my skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So, you know, all that we accrue through work and the things that we achieve, they kind of ultimately have an end
yeah.
that we can't take with us and we can't hold on to.
Yeah. So we need to be careful to go, okay, is my work what defines me?
Mm.
Is that who I am? And if that's the case, you're going to be frustrated because work is toilsome and frustrating.
Mm.
And also to think, particularly if you're studying, you're going and you're choosing your course or you're choosing what job to do. A lot of, you know, part of what we can think of is, okay, is your career, is it to make a name for yourself?
Mm.
Are you doing this so that you will be important or you will have standing or you will have power or you'll be good in your parents' eyes? Are you doing it to make a name for yourself? If you're only doing your thing for that reason,
mm.
then you're just like the people building a Tower of Babel with no reference to the glory of God whatsoever.
Mm. What's next in our biblical tour of the ideas of work?
Well, if we're not working for our own glory or if we're not working to find our purpose, on purpose, we can find purpose in work. Mm. You know, work, we're made for work, and so it can be fulfilling for us. So a little bit later on in Ecclesiastes, in 5:18, the teacher says this: this is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given them.
Mm.
This is their lot. But next verse it says, this is a gift of God.
Mm.
So it's only if you find satisfaction as you toil and labor, then that is a gift from God. So if you're in a job where you go, oh, this is really satisfying, or oh, I'm doing good work here, give thanks to God for that.
Yeah.
But part of God giving you that gift is understanding what work is for.
Mm.
So Senioretti, work is for creation. The other aspect of work is a work for community. And we see in the Bible, reasons to work is not just for ourselves, not just for our provision or for our glory, but it's actually for, you know, creating communities that care for one another, or societies that care for one another. And so we're to firstly provide for our own household. That's a good thing. In 1 Timothy, Paul says, 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for those in their own households, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Mm.
So kind of our first responsibilities are those that are closest to us.
Yeah.
But then you get something like Ephesians 4:28 that says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need.
Mm.
So that's a really helpful concept to go, okay, am I working to share with others?
Mm.
And we might just think, okay, am I making money so I can give money away? That's part of it. But actually in your actual work that you're doing, are you able to share with others?
Mm.
Are you able to go, okay, my work is enabling the community to care, you know, be a community where people care for one another and provide for one another?
Mm. I think there's a book I love by Alain de Botton, who's just a really insightful and thoughtful philosopher. He's not a Christian, so he always like gets these beautiful points and stops short at the solution that you find in Jesus. But he has a beautiful book called The Pleasures and Sorrows of Work, where he talks about our desire for meaningfulness in work. And he says, like, when does a job feel meaningful? Whenever it allows us to generate delight or reduce suffering in others. Though we're often taught to think of ourselves as inherently selfish, the longing to act meaningfully in our work seems just as stubborn a part of our makeup as our appetite for status or money. It's because we're meaning-focused animals rather than simply materialistic ones that we can reasonably contemplate surrendering security for a career to help bring drinking water to rural Malawi, or might quit a job in consumer goods for one in cardiac nursing. Aware that when it comes to improving the human condition, a well-controlled defibrillator has the edge over the finest biscuit. Now he kind of stops short of what is that meaningful, what does meaningful look like? But I thought that was really helpful in saying, like, actually anyone and everyone seeks to find meaning in work. Meaningful work isn't just a Christian idea, mm-hmm. but we have a bigger framework of what meaningful looks like. So he touched on the idea of generating delight or reducing suffering. So working for people for the benefit of others is something that can bring a sense of joy in our work, because we're helping others and we're contributing, which is what God has designed us to do.
Well, yeah, it's very close to how God has, what God has purposed work for. It's for the good of others, towards the glory of God.
Mm.
And so when you're thinking about, oh, what course should I do? What career should I do? If you are gifted in some way to bring, to care for others, or to make something, or provide some services really helping the community in some way, then go for it.
Yeah. So I think we've kind of seen this, like, there's a lot of different facets to work and how we think about it. There's like working because we've been designed to create. There's working in order to be able to be generous and provide. There's working in order to be able to contribute to society and for the good of others. But maybe it's good to kind of draw this all together into a bit of an overarching, how do we then think about work with all of these different aspects and in mind that work will always be frustrated by sinfulness. There's a verse that probably everyone comes back to when we're talking about work, in Colossians 3:17. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so that's a great guiding principle for us as we think about work, as we think about study. Whatever we're doing, we should be doing it for the glory of God and to bring praise to him. And so, you know, whether you're in a job that you find incredibly frustrating, you can still find purpose in figuring out what it looks like for you to do this job for the glory of God. Or if you are doing a high-flying, super important job, you should be reminded that you're doing this for the glory of God, not for your own good or for your own glory, but to remember that whatever we're doing is for God's glory. And that will look so different for every person in whatever job you're in. But as a guiding principle, that verse is really important because it helps bring down work a peg from being our ultimate goal and our ultimate identifier, but also helps us kind of elevate work as something that is actually has relevance and importance in the Christian life, which sometimes we can forget. We can think, oh, ultimately work doesn't matter. It's just, you know, giving to our work so I can give to the gospel, or our work so I can just evangelize in my workplace. Whereas actually this verse is saying, no, work itself has relevance and importance and matters to God, and we should do it for the glory of God.
That's right. And that will look like, as much as it will look differently for people, the common ingredients as we do that will be, okay, how am I using the resources of the world and the fabric of the world to do good to others? And then how is what I'm doing contributing to a caring society, a caring community? If you can hold on to those two things, works of creation and works of community, then if you find you work hard or meaningless, look for how your work is doing that. And if you can't work out how your work's doing that, well, then that's the time to kind of question your role or what you're doing. And maybe you have no choice. Maybe you have to do this to just, you know, put food on the table, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But they're things that can bring meaning.
Mm.
And, of course, it also look like working faithfully for God. So the slave in Ephesians 5 says to, you know, God says, no, work for your master, even when they're not looking, as if you're pleasing the Lord. So work well and work hard because that is pleasing to the Lord. And, of course, it will involve being godly, because that's God's will for us, to be sanctified, to be holy, and so to have integrity at work and to not be untruthful and not cut corners, but to be godly and loving to others. And, you know, we mentioned, you know, work, our regular work has value in our life to God. But of course, the work of the Lord, ministry work, and not just vocational ministry, but, you know, all that we do to build up disciples, that work is not in vain, says 1 Corinthians 15, because as we grow people as disciples, we will, they're heading more towards eternity with God. And so look to do that work as you can in your workplace. If you have opportunity to share the news of Jesus with others. And whether you and think whether you should actually give up your regular work to do the work of the Lord full time. You know, that's then you'll be doing work that, you know, won't it'll still be hard and frustrating, but it will carry on through eternity as the people carry on whom you're serving. So I want to elevate as God's people. We should be doing kingdom work as best we can, but we can also serve God faithfully in the work that we're doing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a little bit of like study, all these things really apply for studying as well. I think sometimes we can think about study as a kind of a preschool for work. Like it's a before work. It doesn't matter. It's you kind of aiming towards work. And so you don't think about it. But all of these things that we've talked about, they really apply for study as well. Because if you're studying full-time, that's kind of your full-time job, right? And so, you know, all these things and principles that we've talked about in studying, in work, apply for how we study. You know, how are you glorifying God? How are you being faithful? What are you studying? What are you aiming towards?
How are you being loving when you study? Yeah. So, you know, when we go back to face-to-face lectures, think, okay, if I'm in a lecture in a big lecture hall, how can I love my lecturer? What does it look like for me to love my lecturer during a lecture? And it probably means looking at them, paying attention.
Yeah.
You know? That attention is the way to love the person in front of, you know, the lecturer in front of you. All these principles you can apply to study as well, knowing that it's a bit more of a trajectory thing.
Yeah.
You know? So I may not be doing a lot of community building in my, research.
Yeah.
But it's for the goal of being able to use that later on or get a job later on that I can serve the community with. So to kind of pull that all together, we can often think that work is for our own glory, to make a name for ourselves, or to provide fulfillment for us. But we need to remember that work at its heart is ultimately frustrating and futile in this life. And so it can't hold on. We can't hold it up that high. But God has given us work to do, and we can still glorify him in the work that we do, particularly as it relates to how we use and manage created order, and how we use our skills and talents to provide something that will build up our community. And so if we hold on to those things and do all that we can for the glory of God, then by God's grace, we may have meaningful work to do and do it in a way that honors Jesus.
All right, now we come to our regular weekly segment of Blank Space, where Anton and I ask each other some Bible trivia questions, and I generally think the right answer in my head, but then think it's wrong and go for a different answer and I'm wrong. This week, we are looking at things in the Bible, but before we go to that, Anton, do you know what our scores are at the moment?
Score is Anton on 4, Simon on 1.
That sounds lovely. We talked about work being frustrating. Here's one way my work's frustrating. Do you want to start by asking me one?
Let's go. So things is a category. What two precious substances were made to use Solomon's throne?
That I feel like substances makes me think liquids. I don't think his throne was made of liquids. I would say surely one of them would be gold. And maybe the other one would be some type of wood. I know the second one's going to be wrong, but I'm just going to go gold and acacia wood.
The answer is gold.
Yep.
And ivory.
Ivory. Yes. Oh, okay. So it was not a wood.
Wood's a good guess, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Do we just go completely wrong for that? Because
we haven't done half of it right.
I know. But I did actually get half of that question right. What kept Ezekiel from turning while he was enacting the siege?
He was like lying down, wasn't he? I really don't know. A net.
Not correct. Ropes.
Oh, I was on the right.
Yeah, you were in the right area. Like I was in the first one.
Okay. Right. 0-0 so far. What kind of gift did Jacob send ahead to his brother Esau as a peace offering?
Livestock?
I will accept that.
Yes.
Animals.
Yes.
Well done. Doubled your score, Simon.
So exciting. Look, I'm only halfway behind you now. King Solomon spoke 3,000 watt.
Oh, my goodness. Proverbs.
Yeah, you are correct.
It's a thing. It's a noun.
Yeah, I would have called it, I would have thought of like objects as things rather than, like words are a bit more abstract.
That is true. It's an abstract thing. Yeah.
But it's fine. You got it right.
So. I got it right. So it's 5-2. That was half successful.
Yeah. Look, it was like half successful for me as well in that answer that I got half right.
Cool. That was Blank Space.
All right, everyone, that is the end of our episode on work. Hopefully that's been really helpful for you in thinking about how to think about work and what...
Hope it wasn't too toilsome for you.
Yeah. next week, we're continuing. We're sort of doing the flip side of work and we're looking at rest next week. So that should be an interesting one. I feel like it's quite a controversial topic for Christians, I think. A lot of people have opinions and thoughts. And
the Bible says less about it, so it's just a bit more tricky.
It's a hard one to think about. Mm. So join us next week as we think about what it looks like to rest. We'll work hard so we can teach you about resting. you can like and subscribe. We're on Facebook. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, a million other things. Episodes drop every Friday. You can join us at church online every week at 6:45. We'd love for you to tune in. We won't see you there, obviously, because it's online. But we'd love for you to join us for church. And we'll see you next week as we talk about rest.
Bye.